It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Bachelor in Paradise, as you know it, is over. Last night was your last rose ceremony. What is next? Romantic overnight dates, fantasy suites, spending the night together, taking that next step as a couple. This next step is the serious part of paradise. It is the Jade and Tanner, the Carly and Evan, the Crystal and Chris. That is where we are now in paradise.
Well, there you have it, straight from the Dark Lord himself. Bachelor in Paradise, as you know it, is over.
He's put on a suit jacket, so you really know that he's serious about this new level of play.
It's because this ceremony, every season, is important. It signifies the next level of the game has begun. There are no more rose ceremonies, as Lord Harrison tells us, and to make it into this next arena of play, all remaining players must agree that they will fuck for his pleasure.
This is kind of like the playoffs of paradise.
Welcome to another week of Game of Roses. I am Roses, Game of Roses. I am...
Welcome to Game of Roses.
Welcome to...
Game of Roses.
I'm your co-host, Bachelor Clues, with me as always,
Lizzie Pace.
And we're here for you one more week just to break down all the top plays, all the top players, all the errors, any surprises we might have had, good strategy, bad strategy, and where we're left in the game.
We had a lot of huge moves this week, partially because of Lord Harrison's announcement that they're leveling up. So everyone was basically forced to have that conversation. Are we going to fuck? Are we going to be in a relationship? So we saw a lot of dumpings.
Which was always mind-blowing to me, because just as a general strategy during these weeks of the game, you don't have to marry this person. Just get some more screen time. Say, yeah, let's go to a fantasy suite. You don't even have to do anything sexual if you don't feel like it. But it gives you at least one more week in the show.
Do not take yourself out of the game at this point.
None of these players have any strong reason to do that, for sure.
It's not strategically helpful. Like, Crystal and Chris, they basically just held on the whole season. They weren't, like, dating their whole season. And look at them.
They're paradise royalty. Their names were invoked by the Dark Lord Harrison himself. It was Crystal and Goose. It was Evan and Carly. And it was, of course, the King and Queen of Paradise themselves, Jade and Tanner Tolbert.
Hashtag paradise goals.
Hashtag Am paradise I right? babies. Their children will set foot on Paradise Beach. I guarantee it.
You're gonna kidnap their kids and bring them to paradise?
I'll see to it. I've already been communicating with Jorge Moreno on Instagram, and we're setting up our plan now.
Oh my God. Honestly, every part of the show that Jorge Moreno is not in, I'm thinking, where is he?
But let's begin with the first plays that were made in the first episode of this week. So the situation was, Dean had come back, his mustache shaven from his face, revealing that he's now a good guy. All of his problems are in the past. They went down the sink with the hairs of his mustache. And he tries to get Kaylin back, tries to convince her. That's where we left off. And now we open this week with Connor attempting to sway Kaylin by recapping Dean's bad behavior.
I thought it was a pretty convincing speech by Connor.
Yeah, it was a good play. It's really the only play that you can make in that situation, I think.
I mean, basically he's trying to convince Kaylin he'd be a better Instagram boyfriend, which I feel like is all she's looking for. And I think she definitely sees that in Dean.
Oh, see, I didn't think he was trying to convince her that he would be a better Instagram boyfriend, because Dean has him beat in that category by a landslide. His numbers are gigantic compared to Connor's. I thought he was trying to convince her that he's a bad real boyfriend and Connor would be a good real boyfriend. And that, to me, was his only play, because Dean, there's no way you're going to be a better Instagram boyfriend than Dean. He lives in a van.
Vans are the stuff of Instagram. As we saw, they already had a professional photo shoot in the van.
Let's discuss that. This is secondary game, of course. We're not talking about the main document now, but we're talking about the secondary component of the game. This is the Instagram presence of all of these people. It's them showing up in each other's photos. It's hashtagging. It's getting followers and likes. Doing things that are completely separate from the game itself. on Dean Unglert's Instagram page, aka Deanie Babies.
It's on both of theirs. Oh, they've merged.
Okay, so they've merged. Perfect. They're a brand. There are photos of them in the back of his van waking up as though they have just fucked on a beautiful sunrise.
I thought it was a sunset.
Maybe it was a sunset. The sun was either rising or setting. Either just way, at the horizon
they definitely
line.
Just fucked.
The implication of the photos, he even says, who needs a fantasy suite when you've got a fantasy van? That's one of the captions in his photos.
Wait, also, he tagged it in a location, Pleasure Town.
They wasted no time in the playing of the secondary game.
They immediately hired a photographer.
And literally the pictures surfaced the day that she leaves Paradise with him.
I mean, you got to time all your pictures with Monday night.
Perfectly orchestrated. I have to say, Connor did not make an error here. He was just going up against one of the strongest plays this season, one of the strongest single plays this season, in Dean shaving the mustache, coming back and saying, let's leave the game together.
He has 1 million followers. She has 1.1 million.
So they're a legitimate Paradise royalty.
Yeah.
But I mean, we're also entering that era where the social media component of this is such a huge part of it. Even just kind of playing well now, you can get 1 million followers. Demi has 1 million.
1 million, you're in that upper echelon.
But it used to be the only bachelors and bachelorettes would get over 1 million. Mm. Now they're getting 2.
What's Tyler at? 2.1, baby.
Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah.
The thing that's going on with Tyler C. and Gigi Hadid, we are entering a new realm of this game, ladies and gentlemen, in which it's possible to break out of the Bachelor Nation dating pool and align yourself with an actual celebrity, someone who is legitimately famous and their fame had nothing to do with The Bachelor. And in doing that, I think not only does it set a new model for what success can be as a player,
it propels the show forward as well, because you're going to get more qualified candidates.
We're also seeing something happening now with Demi Lovato talking to Mike Johnson online. It is normalizing the idea that a player from The Bachelor has legitimate celebrity in the real world. So if there was any stigma before of real celebrities swooping into the Bachelor Nation dating pool to take what they want, that is starting to erode. And I think we are going to see more and more people from the Bachelor world dating actual celebrities after only an appearance on Bachelorette or Bachelor. They probably will still have to make it to the top three. I think that kind of hierarchy of like you were at least important on that show will still have to be
maintained.
Mike
didn't get a hometown. We've had people from Bachelor Nation date celebrities before. It's happened a couple times, but I think that Gigi really is prying open that door to let all the celebrities flood in. Blake style. She's prying. She's legitimizing it. I mean,
you know who
certain others
started this.
Oh God, here we go.
You know who it was. I'm sure you
who
could
was,
guess.
Who was it? The tone of your voice that's all romantic suggests me one thing.
Person from Bachelor Nation to date in the legitimate celebrity dating pool was Nick Vial. He dated January Jones for a little while. And I remember seeing that and thinking to myself, that's a fluke. But
that's
it really wasn't. I thought that it was just like a one-off weird thing because he was a very famous bachelor and she probably did it as a lark. And I was like, okay, whatever. But then it started happening a little more. We saw Wells Adams with Sarah Hyland. And now we've seen it on a scale that is unprecedented.
I don't think there was as much media scrutiny on Nick and January or Wells and Sarah. The Tyler Gigi relationship, like, he's being followed by paparazzi. Every move of their relationship has been documented, every date they've gone on.
Back to the game.
Dean and Kaylin. You know, I hate this about Dean. He's like, I'm a piece of shit, but I'm not going to take more accountability than that and go to therapy and work on myself or anything like that. It's just like, take me as I am. Leave
he
the show.
It it's pre-qualifying his negative qualities. I have all this bad shit about me. You're going to see some bad shit. Are you down with some bad shit?
I mean, that's literally
bad
what he
shit.
Said.
That's what I'm giving you, bad shit.
That's what I'm giving you. Getting my bad shit van. How long do you give that relationship?
This is what they should do. They should contact the Travel Channel or some production company who makes shows for them, and they should get a reality show about them going cross-country in his van. That would sustain them for however long. Maybe it's a hit show for whoever makes it. Maybe they get a couple of seasons out of that. Maybe there's a marriage back at Paradise. Maybe they just milk this for a month or two, don't know how to manage it well, and Kaylin comes back to Paradise next season. Deanie Babies is out. I think we saw his last performance, and God, it was really a Hall of Fame performance.
I think it was probably the strongest move anyone has made in Paradise this season.
Yeah, because it was
beautifully
premeditated as well. The growing of the mustache before the season, I'm telling you, it was not coincidental. That was done on purpose so that he would have some play to make where he shaved it off. He didn't know if it was going to be this, some kind of a redemption story or anything else, but it's a drastic physical change that does make him look nicer.
Yeah.
He knew that he had that in his back pocket and he used it at the exact right time. He came in with just a bold fucking fuck you to the game, a circumnavigation of the rules that is rare. And he did it with enough confidence that it worked. Hats off to you, Deanie Babies. That was really some masterful work. Wasn't my play of the game, but it's a contender for my play of the season.
I have a play of the game, but I don't think it's as strong as Dean leaving with Caitlin. I think that's like the strongest move of the show.
I have a different play of the game. Ours might be the same, but I'm not taking anything away from what Dean did. What he added to the game as a whole. I mean, this to me is a memorable historical play because it sets precedent for other people to do the same. I think you're going to see people leaving the show and coming back. I think you're going to see people asking people to leave the show with them. I think those will become mainstay strategies now that you might see once per season in Bachelor in Paradise. So in that way, I think his alteration of the game is extremely important. But there was a play in this game, in these two episodes, that was so surprising to me from a player that I did not think had it in him herself. Or her.
Her.
It is a her.
Yeah, I think we have the same one.
And it really came out of nowhere for me. Yeah. So that's why it was my play of the game. We'll get to it later. So Connor is dumped. He starts crying. And we get tried and true. Blake makes one of his signature plays. He becomes the shoulder to cry on once again. He hears tears in the night and goes to it like moth to flame. That's screen time, he thinks to himself. As he slides in next to Connor, hey man, what's wrong? And proceeds to talk to him.
Screen time is the scraps that Blake is gathering up as he withers away in paradise.
Then Chris goes out on a date with Katie, and he puts his walls up on the date. It's a nice play. Very traditional, but he does it well and says that he's trying to take them down on her behalf. And it warms her heart, and she's able to continue on. So, well done.
I mean, he's a vet. He's going to do traditional plays.
Then Revian Chang enters Paradise with a date card and takes Connor out on a date.
Night One Girl.
She's a Night One Girl, and all the other players don't know who she is or how to pronounce her name. They do a couple of packages of that, people calling her Revan, Revine.
Isn't it funny that we'll never know her name because she entered Paradise so late?
Her name's Revian. Then we have what seems like a very forced dilemma for Demi, that she's angered by Christina's PDA with other players.
That seemed very like a good move by Demi, you know, create a storyline so you're not just, I mean, a lot of them in these episodes, they just look like there's been a gas leak and they're just splayed, lying down, like not talking about anything. And at least this is giving her like a story with an arc that you can work with.
Then JPJ takes Tayshia to the prom. This is a great play. A great play. It begs the question, how much of it was his idea? Anytime any of these players manufacture one of these little dates or one of the gazebos is decorated with prom or stagecoach paraphernalia, the producers obviously have some hand in it. JPJ did not bring a prom sign with him in his suitcase to Paradise. The producers furnished that for him.
There are definitely props, and they did a lot of prop work in this week's episodes.
But I feel like they have some ideas just standard ready on lock, and taking somebody to the prom is probably one of them. It was perceived as a good play, so it was a good play, but I think it's a little less creative than everybody was trying to give him credit for. Then, not to be outdone, Blake lights a few candles in the treehouse and lures Christina in for a moonlight talk about how serious he is to give himself fully to her. Unfortunately, doesn't work out. Christina tells him.
Christina wrecks him.
Yeah, she says, I'm not going to get there with you. And they immediately have to leave Paradise. Here, I thought Blake did an okay job of giving his exit speech. He invoked Becca, the power of the Bachelorette. Anytime you can say that you've had a personal dealing with one of the leads of the show, it obviously ups your stake. So he's just reminding us how far he went.
I know. He never brought up the school shooting this season, which I feel like might have been a good move for him, but maybe they cut it.
He was a great player this season. Really, at every turn, the producers were trying to navigate him into just death traps. From day one, They had two girls that they knew he had sex with on back-to-back nights at Stagecoach there from day one.
He definitely was climbing out of a hole from the very beginning.
And they just kept digging other holes for him. Somehow he was able to just keep going and going and going, and he made it really as far as you can without having somebody that agrees to engage in the fucking ceremony with you, as demanded by the Dark Lord himself. Blake is a candidate for my MVP of the season, simply because he outworked every other player this season by a huge margin, I think.
He definitely controlled a lot of the narrative, got a ton of screen time. I mean, we were watching Blake and Christina break up for a while, and I'm sure we'll see him in Paradise again next year.
He's going to have the invitation, that's certain. But when he rotates back to the real world and they give him his phone and he sees all the shit that is said about him on Twitter and Instagram and all this, I think he may think it was more trouble than it was worth. I don't know. What was his final Instagram count at?
665,000.
When you're walking around the grounds at Stagecoach 2020 and you can flash that number.
He's going to smash harder than ever at Stagecoach. Are you kidding me?
I would love to see that reality show. Just give me a 24-hour feed of Blake at Stagecoach 2020.
My prediction is he fucks five people at Stagecoach 2020.
How many days are there in Stagecoach 2020? Is it 3 days?
April 24th to 26th.
So 3 days, you think he fucks five?
Yeah.
That's hard to do.
He just has to have one wild night the first night.
I think
everyone's like, I gotta fuck Blake at Stagecoach. I think they're gonna get so many people at Stagecoach now who just want to fuck the people from the Bachelor franchise.
So we say goodbye to Blake, one of the best players this season. He has the potential to come back for another season and be Hall of Fame material, but not quite yet. Then we have episode two, open with Demi and Christian having a dramatic conversation in what looks like the boom boom room.
That whole scene was shot really weird, where they're just kind of like laying there and it seems like some of the words are edited in.
There were a couple of times where they played dialogue on the back of Christian's head, so she definitely didn't say it. There was even one time where they do a digital move within the frame. You can hear Christian talking and it's moving down her arm, and then you see her face, and if you look, her lips are not moving, but she's speaking. So it's even kind of a sloppy job of cobbling together this conversation. So what was really said in that room, we don't know, but it certainly wasn't what they aired.
Christian is frustrated because Demi is basically getting used to the whole idea of coming out this whole time.
Then a date card comes. It's for Hannah. She uses it to ask Dylan.
They play soccer with a random family.
Who were those people? That family gets my Jorge Moreno bystander of the week.
Absolutely.
Sure. Who the fuck were they? So the date idea, and at this point in Bachelor in Paradise, they've kind of given up on the conceit that the players have anything to do with the idea for the date. We haven't seen any of that. Like, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. That's so sweet. Or sometimes they do it with the prom one, like the little beach mini dates. Mm-hmm. But this shit is just like, the date is, we're going to have you walk down a path and emerge into the backyard of a family throwing a birthday party. You don't know any of these people. Have fun on your date.
Like, it's the cultural appropriation date. What do you mean?
Well, I know there's always a cultural appropriation date, but I mean, this one's just straight like a regular family. It's not even like people who do performances of old Aztec or Mayan ritualistic dances or songs. This is just somebody having a birthday party for their kid in the backyard.
I wonder if it's like in the culture of this town around Paradise, there are these dates like once a year and you can go see the white people like have dinner.
Well, certainly I think Jorge Moreno is probably a local celebrity in that town. Yeah, it's very weird. There must be a culture around it for sure.
I mean, they're probably Jorge's relatives or someone that Jorge has connected them with. Dylan tells Hannah he loves her on this date. Good move. You got to do it. He needs to get to I love you before he can propose. I think he's been like a sleeper possible candidate for MVP this season just because he started with so few Instagram followers and like he's attached himself to one of Colton's finalists when he was just like a floater who barely had any lines in Hannah's season. He's just slowly risen. He fended off Blake at the beginning, who usually gets what he wants.
It's a difficult play to pull off, actually. It seems like it's easy because he hasn't had to do much. He hasn't had to overcome much adversity. But the opposite is actually true. To come in with a game plan and say, I'm going after this person, I'm going all in, and I will walk away from this married to them and actually have it happen is extremely difficult. And it requires exactly what he's done. Play that is unwavering. There can never be any doubt about your sincerity.
He's 40RR.
4TRR should be tattooed on his goddamn chest because the guy lives it and breathes it. Very strong play from him. Very impressed.
And he beat off Blake when Blake had flown to Alabama before the show started. Presumably Dylan didn't meet Hannah before this show started.
And he also had a much smaller Instagram account, like you're saying. He beat off somebody with a giant number compared to him.
Yeah. I mean, for Hannah, like, she is an Instagram model. That is her job. That's, like, an interesting choice. Or maybe she's like, I can bring Dylan's numbers up. And Blake had been, like, tarnished so much by Bachelor Nation.
In the couples that have been invoked by Lord Harrison, Jade and Tanner is probably paramount. They are kind of the real king and queen of the triad, you know?
Yeah.
The others merely serve in their court. In the Jade and Tanner relationship, Jade was the one with the most followers. She drug him along. But
yeah.
She always has had the Instagram control of that relationship. Hannah sees herself with Dylan in that same way. She would be in control of the relationship. She would always have the bigger number, be the more important one. And I think that that is something that matters to her.
Yeah. So Hannah's definitely like following in the footsteps of Jade. We have all this fucking shit about Connor and Whitney.
They have to build that story immediately because it's not one that actually exists. At this point in the show, let's be very fucking clear about what we're watching. At this fucking point in the show, one of two things can be true. One of two. One, Connor doesn't know she's coming. Whitney doesn't know he's leaving. Their cars literally pass each other on the fucking road without them knowing it. She arrives when he's gone, and he's already at a hotel getting ready to leave. That can be true. And if that is true, it means the producers orchestrated that whole thing. Let him stand there and leave the fucking show. The same producers who are supposed to be helping you foster love and find your soulmate in paradise allowed this man to leave, knowing that the only girl he wanted to meet was coming. So they are openly undermining another relationship. That must be true. Or all of the players are in on it and it was completely scripted. Those are the only two possibilities.
I mean, she goes to his hotel room just in her bikini holding the date card.
And he looks completely unsurprised to see her.
It is very Trumpian. Like, you're going to have us believe what now? That they're letting the cars pass each other and no producer can make a phone call in paradise. There's no phones.
Or even tell him. When he's sitting there giving the confessional into the fucking camera, there's a producer sitting next to the camera. And he's sitting there saying, Whitney's really the only girl I still want to see. And I'm just waiting for her. And if she doesn't show up, I'll probably go home. The producer just sits there silently. No, in fact, the producer's asking more questions. Oh, really? You like Whitney? What do you like about her? Oh, we had this really good conversation. No, no, they're asking him questions about Whitney. Never once does that producer say, she's coming. She's on her way. They let him pack his shit and leave without telling him she's on the way. And they literally pass each other on the road. That's how much of a lack of coordination we're to believe these producers. Oh, we couldn't help it. That's just when her flight got in.
It's very high on the fake scale. Because clearly Whitney has been waiting and holding this whole time. As I'm pretty sure everyone at the wedding was.
The timing of every event in Paradise is completely constructed. Even Deanie Babies. I'm taking nothing away from his play. It was strong. But when he came back to Paradise, he didn't see Kaylin as soon as he could. I would guess that the producers had him in holding for 2 or 3 days specifically so she could build her relationship with Connor stronger so that when Deanie Babies did come, it would be more of an emotional struggle for her.
Do you think he even went home?
No. I think he just went to the hotel.
It took him that long to shave.
Yeah, exactly.
Just kept growing back.
Took him 3 days to shave. Each strand was an emotional turmoil.
Then we have Nicole and Clay go on a date. Clay calls her his best friend on the beach, but he can't say he's in love. Then we have something that was competing for my play of the game. Tayshia recreates the scene from Titanic with John Paul Jones, and it basically makes screen time. It involves fun props. It's capitalizing on his like theme of Speedos. He comes out in a jean Speedo. You instantly know that's going to be a meme. Aiming for a meme or a GIF is a good strategy on Paradise always, because those are going to be passed around. And John Paul Jones did not bring multiple Speedos. We already discussed this.
Yeah, the denim Speedo was given to him by the producers for sure. Had he brought that as a joke from home, it would have been seen much, much sooner.
Lord Harrison cancels the cocktail party. You don't get to have your last minute conversations and everyone divide their roses up equally. He says that relationships are what they should these roses should represent at this stage of the game.
Literally calling it a game. The Dark Lord himself, the father of lies, tells one truth.
They basically don't have the structure in this game, so they rely on Lord Harrison trying to hypnotize them into thinking, oh, these roses represent this. He basically dictates where their emotional state should be at. Players should not take this at face value.
Of course not. The rules aren't written. This isn't the strangeness of this game that they're playing is that you don't really have to adhere to the rules. They are there and they give the game general structure, certainly. But as we witnessed with Deanie Babies, you can bypass the rules if you're doing it under the pretense of something that is kind of higher than the game for TRR, for the right reasons, basically. That's kind of the one fundamental piece of the game that can't even be questioned by Lord Harrison or any of the producers. If you make a play for the right reasons, it can never be questioned.
So then we have something that apparently is a first on the show, which is Lucas trying to hand a rose to Bree, and she says no.
Excuse me.
Sorry. Oh,
You're missing one thing.
We have an invocation.
We have an invocation.
I tried to skip an invocation.
You can try. I'll catch it. I'll catch every invocation. Just before that, Luke P is once again compared to the great one, Nick Viall, and Haley says Nick Viall is way hotter than Luke. Not only do we get an invocation of the master Nick Viall, we get a denigration of the person who is supposed to be like him for no reason. It's just a shitting on one player to elevate a great god of the game. And I'm finding myself wondering, how often will he be invoked?
They've invoked him a lot.
He's been in almost every episode of this season.
He was in last week. A lot. I mean, they showed his face. We got an invocation. Haley was too good for the poor man's Nick Viall. So then we get this first in BIP history where Lucas tries to hand out a rose, and because he had no cocktail party to confer, Bree turns it down.
It doesn't end there. The Dark Lord emerges from the shadows to add insult to injury. Yeah. He turns to the rest of the ladies and says, does anybody else want Luke's rose? And they all say no. And he says, well, sorry, Luke. Gotta go home. Just a fucking public humiliation.
Yeah, standing people are laughing at him.
It's just a dirty, hard fucking moment to watch. But this is the price of the game that you play. We know that now. Some players aren't made for this piece of the game. I don't know that Luke was made for any piece of the game. He wasn't good on his Bachelorette season.
No.
He didn't do anything in Bachelor in Paradise. He made no lasting impression except for a full rejection.
They should always cancel the cocktail parties so that people are scrambling like this and you see this like humiliation. I mean, not even the night one girl, Revian, stepped up and was like, I'll take that rose. Rather go home than take his rose.
No one's going to accept the rose. After Bree rejects it, it's tainted. He's tainted.
Old Matt Donald picks Bree instead of Sydney. He says, gotta do me at the end of this. And calls her a supermodel 100 times. She dumps him immediately the next morning. So we have the Lord Harrison speech, where they basically have to take things to the next level. So Bree dumps old Matt. Chase says there's something intangible to Angela. Chase is like, Angela, I don't know what it is. Something intangible. But there's something missing for me.
Who'd you vote for?
You're not a blonde racist piece of shit, for starters.
So then they leave. Then we have Dylan and Hannah. They, of course, partner up. They agree to engage in the sex ceremony that is mandatory in this part of the game, as Lord Harrison has commanded. Then Clay and Nicole, they built up a narrative that we didn't know what was going to happen there, but Clay comes around and they agree to engage in the sexual ceremony. Then JPJ made my error of the game.
This is my error as well. John Paul Jones pulls Tayshia and says, I love you, Tayshia. Tayshia, that's a lot, huh?
Not the response you want to hear when you tell somebody that you've loved them.
John Paul Jones, his play is all over the map this season. And here, he could have been like, let's have dinner together and spend more time together. It's very fun. Maybe we can do some more prop work. He doesn't. He goes for it. He shoots his shot and Tayshia dumps him.
He had built a persona that's light and fun and kind of carefree. But we know he has layers, they keep saying, and he has serious moments. But the thing Tayshia likes about him in Paradise is that she can hang out with him and joke around with him, and he makes being there tolerable. He made it intolerable. because now it became very fucking serious, and he left her with no choice. Had she accepted his invitation to the sexual ceremony, it would have been a step too far. She would have been conveying a very incorrect message, a dishonest message. She did the merciful thing and dumped him. It was really his own fault.
I think a small error was Matt Donald picking Bree. I think he should have stuck with Sydney, could have maybe left as a couple from Paradise. You know, not really an on-the-map couple, but better than getting demolished by Bree. Right after this giant error by John Paul Jones, we had my play of the game. Katie is having a conversation with Chris. Katie, who has kind of lost herself to her emotions, like has gotten easily overwhelmed, made some poor moves this season, such as telling Chris to go on other dates, etc. Chris is literally mid-breakup with her. He's like, I don't know, like, I'm having these serious doubts. I've been like, I'm not that into it anymore. And then she completely turns it around. And she's like, whether it's with me or someone else, you have to get over this shit. There's no commitment here. You got to work on these issues. I'm willing to do this with you. Completely does a 180. And he's like, would you like to go to dinner with me? I mean, she extracted a fantasy suite from a dumping, which was excellent play in my opinion.
It was my play of the game as well, and she was my MVP of this week. There were more elegant plays. What Dean did was masterstroke.
It was gorgeous.
But what she did was very unexpected. I feel like this play was kind of out of her league as a player, and it showed to me that she has signs of being a better player. And if she comes back to Paradise next season, we might see something really special. And I just didn't expect it from her, I guess. But all the things you said, I totally agree with. Being able to manufacture a positive out of like a crushing negative is very rare in this game. She did it pretty expertly. I mean, she just twisted him right the fuck up and was like, that thing you wanted to do? We do what I want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think she's going to leave Paradise as a couple, which is stronger for your long-term game.
That's it. We only have the reunion and then the final episode where we'll be graced by the demon, Neil Lane, with his sparklers.
What are your predictions?
Hannah and Dylan get a sparkler.
Yes.
Clay and Nicole don't get a sparkler.
Clay and
John Paul Jones and Tayshia get a sparkler.
Yeah, in the reunion, John Paul Jones is doubling down on his I love you and proposing to Tayshia in the reunion, it looks like.
I think
this will be a huge mistake.
They fucked you with that one. That's not real.
Oh, you think he's not proposing?
Yeah, I think that's not right. I think he's going to propose on the beach somehow. They're going to do a twist on us.
But they both left.
Are you fucking serious?
Once people get in those cars, they can't be communicated with.
Is people coming back and forth
from
the hotel
and
the beach?
No one can use phones in these SUVs. Oh, once they are in the SUV, they go to the hotel. So one last thing before we leave.
What's the dwab at?
It has been 6,379 days without a Black Bachelor.
And now we have all over the internet, it's confirmed. We know who the next Bachelor is. Spoiler alert. Don't listen if
Spoiler.
You don't want to know until next week.
We've also already said this in this episode. Oh. But
it's Peter the pilot.
Our second white pilot who secretly wants to be an actor.
And on his season, we've seen one of the contestants revealed is Miss Maryland or something.
Louisiana.
Miss Louisiana. Another pageant queen.
This isn't confirmed, but she's supposedly one of the people.
So it's looking very strong for players in the near future. Pageantry and Instagram influence are huge pieces of data that they look at for potential contestants.
Certainly. If you want to be a player in this game, you have to start working on your Instagram, period. That's basically your resume to get on this show.
And it wouldn't hurt to get in some pageants and win a few.
I mean, if we can do anything, I hope we get more women into pageants as a podcast. Then I'll feel like we've really accomplished something.
My goal with this podcast, let's be very clear, is to find someone who is willing to infiltrate this show using strategies that you and I have developed to eventually become the Bachelorette. And once she does, to then reveal in the final season of the final show of the Bachelorette that it was all an elaborate piece of performance art designed to expose the fact that this was just a game and an astute player can do whatever they want in it.
If you or someone you know you think would be a good candidate for that, reach out to us on our Instagram at Game of Roses with a Z. Also, rate, review, and subscribe.
Until next week.
Praise be Lord Harrison.